Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. I'm hanging with my brother from another mother, Mr. Rick Unger, formerly of the nationally syndicated The Rick Unger Show. Formerly of the Steel and Unger, now just sort of chilling as a grandpa and
playing with my new puppy.
And you got a new puppy?
I got a new puppy.
What kind of puppy?
It's called a Peek-a-Poo. Pekingese and Poodle mix.
Yeah. I've heard of those. There goes man genetically messing with stuff again.
Yeah.
Okay. we'll save that for another episode. But
actually, not a Peek-a-Poo, a Have-a-poo. Why did I say that?
An Agri-poo.
A Have-a-poo.
Have a poo. I have a poo.
Havanese and poodle, not Peek-a-poo.
I have a poo.
It's late in the day. I start to
God
lose.
God bless. Only we could come up with something like that. So. You've got right now a very interesting storyline in the Second Amendment space. And it is watching the emergence of very strong advocates on gun rights.
Yeah.
Aligning themselves with very strong advocates of gun safety and gun reform. And I, you know, give you my buddy Joe Walsh, whom I've had on the podcast recently to talk about that, as well as
we got to talk about Joe Walsh one of these days. Never have I seen somebody do such a massive turnaround.
You know, I can just real quick sidebar on that. I've talked to him about that on and offline. And it's legit. It's real.
I kind of believe that.
He realizes that. Yeah, I was on the wrong side of history. I was standing on the wrong side of history on a number of things. And he used, you know, and we talk about the fact that the Joe Walsh that I worked with and helped get elected in 2010 in his mm-hmm. congressional district in Illinois was a very different guy than the one who left Washington a few years later.
That can happen. So
a lot of these guys came in with very strong sentiments around the Second Amendment, but more importantly, around the Constitution, big government republicanism that was right. formed under Bush. And they had a lot of feelings about that. But yeah, it's a genuine thing for him. And he'll tell you, you know, he disagrees with David Hogg and a lot of these guys on some of the policies that they're promoting. But he thinks this is the moment to build a consensus around the things that we actually can get done. So but that's
it's interesting because I track him, right?
Right.
And there's enough inconsistencies in his various views towards policies to make me believe he's for real.
Yeah. 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 And that's the way, right? That's how you can begin to see, okay, is this guy blowing smoke or is there something real here?
Yeah.
He, you know. So you have him, you have others, you have the Gun Owners of America, which is the huge rival to the National Rifle Association. You have these interesting partnerships that are starting to form. What's your take on this newly emerged Second Amendment battle, particularly in light of the impending Supreme Court decision on the New York case? Which, by the way, is a quick sidebar. You know it better than I. Basically, if the Supreme Court's rules the way people believe, that it would allow for you to own a gun without a permit.
Without a permit. It's in an interesting place right now. And, you know, like everybody else, there's always two sides to my thinking. One side is the less pragmatic,
right,
which is, I can't believe that we're having this big of a fight to get this little in the way of what appears to be some improvements.
What's emerging, right?
Yeah. On the but the other side is, well, you know what? I may find that to be ridiculous, but that doesn't change the reality.
Right.
And the reality is what the reality is. It's going to be a long time, if ever, that we end up with a Congress and a White House that are really, really, really made up of numbers that are going to take on the gun problem in a serious way. Just not going to happen. And so since it's just not going to happen, then it's good to see that their attention was grabbed to the point where they're making some modifications, although I know that there are millions of people out there who are going, what are you talking about? They're virtually doing nothing. And I'm sympathetic to that point of view. It's tricky. I mean, the Second Amendment, with all of the fighting we do about it, it's one of the most amorphous things in our Constitution. You know, I mean, once you have to start to try and think, is what we have today really what the founders had in mind?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you know, we say no, and frankly, I agree with you. I don't think so either. But at the same time, maybe they would say, hey, our motivation for that was so that people would have the ability to fight back against the government that was repressing them. If government could stop you from getting guns, they could stop you from fighting back. So maybe some of them would say it's no different today.
No,
I tend to agree with you, but.
Yeah, I think we're largely on the same page on this. And you know, I've been a strong supporter of gun rights and gun ownership, et cetera. So, you know, no secret there for me. I'm all about responsible ownership and responsible laws that mitigate against, right, you know, some of the things that we've seen play out, you know, whether it's in the health, the mental health space, et cetera. But I think of my reading of that amendment, I'm a time, place, circumstance guy, as you know, I'm all right about, and I don't like projecting back into the past today's attitudes about big decisions that were made then. I take them for what they are. They are history. They have a historical context to them. And my interpretation would align itself with the view that, yeah, they wanted the farmers, right?
Yeah.
Who would form the militia, yes, necessary to fight an aggressive government. Keeping right in mind, the original intent was not to separate from England.
Correct.
Right? So I think right, we kind of lose sight of that after the Declaration of Independence.
That's a really important point.
You know, the goal was not to separate. In fact, right, even during the fight for independence, there were a whole lot of colonists who were like, I'm not down with separating right from England. Some even went back to England because they didn't want. So I think it was this idea that if England decides to get ugly because England started passing laws saying that the colonists couldn't own weapons, right?
Right.
They were like, wait a minute, how do we then defend ourselves against you if you decide?
But see, now I can make the argument, it would be half-hearted because I don't believe the argument,
right?
But I can make the argument that those same concerns can exist today.
But here's the difference. The farmers needed to have the weapons so that when they were called into militia to defend, because there was no standing army at the time.
There was nobody to give them any weapons.
There was no one to give them any weapons. If the U.S. or the colonists, the 13 colonies, had a standing army, is that, you know, in a lot of the civilization games, one of the first things you do is you send out one person to go farm a field, right? Right. And then every other resource is put towards building a standing army.
Right.
Right. <That's> true. and so if there was a standing army by this fledgling government or the 13 colonies who were in confederation together, that probably would have been a very different amendment, because this was a matter of getting the farmer to put down the plow to pick up the musket and to join up at point A to go fight against this enemy. And when that fight was over, take that musket, put it back on the shelf, and go back to plowing.
Yeah, very interesting point.
Anyway.
Very interesting point.
So now we've had a little history lesson.
Well, see, that this is just it. There's just so much we don't, even if you are an originalist, even if you believe in a strict interpretation,
right?
There's so much we don't know, because guess what? Them folks are dead.
Right.
They can't tell us, right?
So we've got 20 members of the United States Senate, 10 Democrats, 10 Republicans, who've now come together around a framework, which everyone right. seems to be patting themselves in the back for and applauding. Do you think it does anything? I mean, at the end of the day, what are we talking about? A couple of red flag law
does
positions?
A little. It yeah. does a little. A very little. I mean, yeah, it incentivizes the states to pass red flag laws. I think that's a good idea. It does increase background checks between 18 and 21. Obviously, a step in the right direction. A lot of little steps.
Yeah.
More money for mental health.
They sort of backslid a little bit. Instead of saying, okay, if you're 21 years old, you can go out and buy a weapon. If you're under 21, you can't. Oh, no, we're going to do a range between 18 and 21, because they still want 18-year-olds to be able to go out and buy a freaking weapon.
AR-15, right.
They still want them to be able to go and do that. Right. But that same 18-year-old can't go in the liquor store and buy liquor.
That's right. That's right.
So I can, on my 18th birthday, go get an AR-15 because I'm now found to be somehow of sound mind.
I can go shoot the liquor store owner, but I cannot buy any liquor.
Right. I can go shoot the liquor store owner, but I can't buy liquor from his establishment.
Now, I mean, look, logic has nothing to do with this. This is 190% pure politics and chicken shit members of Congress who are so afraid that they're just not going to do anything to, as Mel Brooks would put it, endanger their phony baloney jobs.
How do you think all of this at the final moment? We are 4 months out. What is this, June? July, August, September, October. Yeah, 4 months out from the midterm elections. You've got big gun decision out of New York coming down the Supreme Court, abortion decision coming down from the Supreme Court, an affirmative action case coming down from the Supreme Court that will likely, again, eviscerate affirmative action as we know it.
Right.
Then you've got the January 6th commission going on and more work to come, but by the 30th of June, we should have a better, clearer view of exactly what that was all about, and whether, to our earlier discussion, there was any indictable right. material. Where do you think all this leads the country going into the midterms?
Back to what the only thing that really matters in the midterms, gas yes, prices and food prices. That's all that matters.
Man, we can't be that dumb.
You know, but that's it. That's all that'll matter. Let's face it, is
do you think that's a good, do you think that's
a
good
Democrat?
Right. Do you think that's a good place to be?
Well, I think most of the positions Americans hold is not a good place to be, because we're not educated. All the Supreme Court cases you just brought up, each and every one of them extremely important, and the only one that will be in voters' minds when they go to the polls, if at all, will be the abortion case.
Yeah.
That'll have some impact. It'll certainly bring out some women to vote that maybe wouldn't have voted otherwise. The rest of them, I doubt that 90% of the population will have even heard of them. All that will matter is gas prices and food prices.
I've been asking this question to the audience as I get to chat before, and that is, have we reached a point that when asked, do you value the price of gas more than democracy? Do you value, less inflation over voting rights? My fear is your answer is your point. I would rather have $2 gas and not be able to vote
But see, every one of those people you ask that question is going to answer.
I'm not saying I will, but the answer is, I want to clarify for my audience. I'm not saying I would have.
No. But anybody who you ask that question to, they're all going to give you the same answer. No, of course I value democracy more than the price of gas.
Right.
What a ridiculous question. And they're lying their butts off. They are lying their butts off because they don't even see the connection. They don't see the connection.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
What was it like to cover President Donald Trump? Hi, I'm Deborah J. Saunders, former White House correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I was not one of the stars you'd see in the front 2 rows of the briefing room. I was in the back of the room or standing in the aisles before I got a seat. It was not fake news. It was my life. I get up in the morning and see what the most powerful man in the world wrote on Twitter overnight or blurted out during a call-in to a morning news show, then try to make sense of it all. I should give a warning. There is adult language, although not necessarily from the mouths of adults. Covering the Trump White House feels much better in the rearview mirror. This is Trailing Trump, notes from the back of the briefing room.
Premiering June 14th on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.